What's up, it's Coolie China.
How many more licks will it take till I get to this the nigga? Cause I've been at it since the quarter past eight in thick, you're looking at it.
Yo, this your boy Ricky Rick.
Oh, I love a Zulu girl. Oh, I say, oh, 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 I love a Zulu girl.
This is Questa.
All the stars. All the hits. This is Majima's Radio.
Hola, hola. Welcome to the Call Out Podcast, people, where we connect, inform, and engage. And yes, it is your guy, Vuyisanani Wakanomchacho, your daily dose of sugar. But don't take me in too many doses because you might have diabetes. You know what it is. We're back for season three. It is second semester, guys. We are there. We are here with the people. So much has been happening around South Africa, and I'm so, so excited to be back. I'm so excited to just talk to everybody. And word out there is that the Call Out is the most listened to podcast in Madiba's radios. So a round of applause to the team and everybody who's helped us and to our viewers at home. Thank you so much for listening in. But that's not all, folks. We have so much for you. As you know, so much has been happening around South Africa with the Mkhonyane Mkhwanazi case. We'll be diving into that for the next 3 weeks because there's so much to talk about and we cannot just talk about it in one go. And we have what's been happening with President Cyril Ramaphosa. He's pulling a Jacob Zuma on us. He really is firing ministers. Things we love to see, things we love to see. What we hate to see is corruption. And we just love to see our president actually taking charge. We'll be diving deeper into that. And furthermore, we'll just be talking about youth activism, as that is our campaign at Madiba's Radios for this month. How the youth in itself can actually be participants in the economy, how they can help and be people that are within economic growth, who are given those opportunities, not given per se, but who also seek those opportunities. So much to talk about. But first things first, guys, I have a special treat for you. From the current affairs news, I have a news reporter who will be reporting the news with us today. Let's please just give her an ear.
Saqhubeka ukudodobala kombuso kwityala lika Timothy Omotoso. Umbuso phulukene nelinye ityala lokudlwengula kunye nokurhweba ngabantu ngokungekho mthethweni elijongene nomfundisi waseNigeria uTimothy Omotoso kunye nalowo atyholwa naye uye waphinda wabuyela emva kwinkundla ephakamileyo yaseGqeberha ngolwesibini. Omotoso oneminyaka engamashumi amathandathu anesixhenxe, uZukiswa Sitho oneminyaka engamashumi anane anesibini kunye noLusanda Sulani oneminyaka engamashumi amathathu anesihlanu bakhululwe kumatyala langaphaya kwamashumi amathathu aquka ukudlwengula, ukurhweba ngabantu kunye nokuxhaphaza ngokwesondo nokuthengisa ngobuqhophololo. Ngenyanga kaTshazimpuzi, uOmotoso waphuma enkundleni eyindoda ekhululekileyo emva kokuchitha iminyaka esisixhenxe luvalelweni elindele ukuqukunjelwa kwetyala lakhe. Ukufunyaniswa kukajaji iMaskomen ukuba kanatyala kuye kwabangela ukuba urhulumente acele ukuba anike ingcaciso ngeziphumo ezinyani ngokusekwe kubungqina obunikwe inkundla ngexesha letyala. Advocate Apla Bodlane SC uthe ngokusekelwe kumthetho wetyala awathi wawubekwe enkundleni ukuze kuthintelwe imibuzo yomthetho wamiselwa ngokuqinileyo kumthetho wolwaphulo-mthetho. Uthe iziphumo eziyinyani xa zingacacanga kwisigwebo kufuneka zisekwe phambi kokuba urhulumente acele inkundla yamatyala ukuba iqulunqe imibuzo yomthetho. Ikhabhinethi kaRamaphosa. Umongameli uCyril Ramaphosa ugxothe uNobuhle Nkabane njengomphathiswa wemfundo ephakamileyo. UNkabane obesoloko ephendula imibuzo malunga nokuqeshwa kwakhe kwibhodi yeSETA nezityholo zokuxoka epalamente. Umbutho iDemocratic Alliance ukwamkele ukugxothwa kukaNobuhle Nkabane njengomphathiswa wemfundo ephakamileyo ukubiza ngokuba linyathelo lokuqala elibalulekileyo lokubuyisela intembeko yoluntu kurhulumente. Umongameli Cyril Ramaphosa wamsusa uNkabane kulandela izityholo zokuba walahlekisa iparlamente malunga nokuchongwa kosihlalo abayamaniswa ne-ANC kwiibhodi ze-Sector Education and Training Authority. Isithethi se-DA kuzwelonke uKarabo Kakau uthi ngoku kufuneka kugxininiswe usekela mphathiswa uButi Manamela ongenela indima ephambili. Yaye uthi i-DA iza kube ijonge ngeliso elibukhali ukubona ukuba uManamela uceba ukuguqula njani indawo yeseta nokuba abantu abatsha banikwe ithuba lokwenyani kuphuhliso lezakhono, amathuba emfundo kunye nokuphuculwa kweziseko zophuhliso. Kwindaba zeMadibaz Radio, ndinguchuma Velemini.
Thank you, Miss Velemini, for those riveting, riveting headlines, everybody. Now, before we dive into everything that's been happening, I want to first apologize for my co-host, Okarabo Tswane Daniels, your favorite host. She'll be back with us next week, so do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Uyeza, guys. She's probably out traveling the world. You know, she's a busy person. She's probably in Ibiza or Bora Bora, somewhere exotic, I hope. Or just spending time with the family. Things we love to see. Now, guys, I want us first to just dive into what has been happening with Mchunu and Kwanazi case. Like, wow. These news came out earlier in the last 5 weeks. They sparked on and caught fire. Like, iparafini ijule emlilweni. Like, let me tell you, to just see a person like a commissioner Kwanazi actually show up and say, listen, there's this crime that's happening right now, and I am willing to be a martyr for it. I'm willing to stand up and say, I see this and see that and see this, and not be easily swayed by public opinion, by money, or in the duress of his own safety, because he knows the people that he's exposing are pretty dangerous people. Now, as I said before, I cannot dive into everything that has happened with the Mchunu and Kwanazi case just in one episode. So for the next 3 weeks, we will dedicate about 10 to 15 minutes to it to just talk about it. Now first, let's talk about the main characters of what's the Mchunu versus Kwanazi case. We have Mchunu, who is now the suspended minister of police. We have Kwanazi, the commissioner of police, who was the head of a task team investigating political killings in South Africa. Okay, and then we have Kat Machala, an associate of Mchunu, who is also known in the underworld as Kat. Kat Machala is known as, how do I put this in more demure terms? He is, he's very dangerous. He's very dangerous, to say the least. Even now, he's in court because of the attempted murder of his own girlfriend. Okay, now let's dive into the details, right? There's been long-running suspicion that some people, including gangsters, manipulate private security, that they exploit their businesses to gain access to firearms and use certain companies as fronts, meaning that they are gangsters that use security companies as a front to say the reason why they're carrying guns is because they are a security company, when really that's not the case. Now, why is this relevant to this story? It is because Kat Machala is actually an owner of one of those security companies. Okay, Mkwanazi exposed this and exposed Kat as a friend and as an associate of who? Of Mchunu. Now, the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority was trying to differentiate really what has actually been happening with the matter of firearms. Now, Mchunu proposed that firearms the security guards are given more accessibility to firearms, meaning that they can carry them everywhere and anywhere at all times, right? Meaning that those firearms that Mkhono allows for those security arms to use as they wish, meaning that those people who are part and who are in cahoots with Cat Matlala are actually gangsters that use those firearms to do whatever it is that they need to do. Now, the person who exposed this on 6 July 2025 is KwaZulu-Natal Police Commissioner Lieutenant General Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi, made astounding accusation which were against Mkhono and other individuals. Mkhwanazi alleged that a drug cartel based in Gauteng was controlling a high-level criminal syndicate that extends into the South African Police Service, the police ministry, the parliament, the official prison structures, and the judiciary and other law enforcement authorities. Now, let's just take a moment to see what this means. This means that there is a drug cartel operating out of Gauteng that is basically controlling all of South Africa. In what sense? Because the South African minister himself, the person who's supposed to be on top and stopping crime, is involved in the drug cartel. He's in the pocket of the drug cartel. The police ministry, the parliament itself, meaning that they are official members of the parliament who are involved with Abamkhono, who are just a group of people who know about this drug syndicate, who know about what's happening, and who are willing to make money and profit off of what? Off of crime within our country. This is just genuinely absurd. And it doesn't even stop there. It goes into official prison structures, to the judiciary and other law enforcement authorities. Do you see how deep this very poisonous wild runs? It's because this is why we have drugs being operated in prison. How can you have drugs operated in prison? Can prisoners just magically make drugs in prison? No, they can't. They actually hire the wardens, the people who are actually supposed to be overlooking those prison structures. Those people are connected to those drug cartels that Mkhono is connected to. And it is a whole drug rig operation that they run. Now, Mkhono also alleged that at the end of last year, Mkhono issued a directive to disband the political killings task team to shield political connected members of a criminal syndicate from prosecution. Okay, what does this mean? It means that President Ramaphosa, right, he made a task team for the political killings that has been happening all around South Africa, specifically in KwaZulu-Natal, as councillors were killed, people who were gunning for positions, they political leaders who are gunning for positions are just killed without cause, just because they are running for that position and they don't fit whatever agenda the murderers have, and it's all politically driven. Now, why would a minister of police make sure that that task team is deteriorated, or rather it is given up and is dismantled, if he knows that he won't benefit from it? It is not because of financial issues. The police ministry gets its own budget. It is because Mkhwanazi has his own, Mkhono has his own friends in the political industry that he wants to what? To protect. This is what Mkhwanazi is saying, that you wouldn't want an investigation unit to be dismantled if you know it won't implicate you. The only reason you would want it destroyed is because you know it will implicate you or affect you in any type of way. Now, Mkhwanazi's other claims included that Mkhono was in cahoots with, among these accused of the political killings, was attempted murder case accused Vusi Cat Matlala. Mkhono denied the accusations. Now, Vusi Cat Matlala right now is actually accused of attempted murder, the murder of his actress girlfriend. Now, Mkhono denies lendo utuba akamazi bangubani uKat Matlala, akamani bangubani lo mntu ungenaphi yena kulonto le. Now, but he later on went on to change his story, saying after WhatsApp and messages were shown between Mkhono, kunye na lomjita uvus ket matlal. So it really just shows that umkhulu is not make sure about his own truth. Now, but a week after the allegations surfaced, President Cyril Ramaphosa announced that umkhulu had been placed on leave and a commission of inquiry was being set up to investigate Mkhwanazi assertions. This process is set to take place for at least 6 months. Now, the Minister of Mineral and Petroleum Resources, Gwede Mantashe, is now acting police minister until August, when Ufiros Chalaya, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is set to take over. Now, several other developments have resulted from the Mkhwanazi allegation. This includes Deputy National Commissioner of Crime Detection, Ushetrik Sibiya, who has denied wrongdoing in the saga, being placed on leave. Now, meaning that umkhulu was not alone in what he was trying to do. There was also Deputy National Commissioner Ushetrik Apa, who was also part of that as whole syndicate. Now, furthering who was also furthering that crime in all of these things. Now, back to the accusations against umkhulu. Umkhwanazi actually also alleged that uMatlala was financially supporting umkhulu's political endeavors, right? Meaning that last year, uMatlala was awarded a 360 million police contract that has since been terminated. Imagine, now, again, remember, I need you to follow me here. Now, remember in the first, one of my first few lines was that I told you that uMatlala is actually, has a security company that umkhulu was allowing him to have guns and all of these things and giving him favors in legislation and laws and breaking a few laws for him, as alleged by uMkhwanazi. Now, uMatlala, that company that he owns, was given 360 million in police contract. 360, imagine. He has also had links to private security via the company CAT VIP Protection, which is headquartered in Pretoria. A company search showed it was registered in KwaZulu-Natal and was in process of final registration. The company's Instagram account includes photographs of apparent employees with firearms. While ICAT VIP does not appear to be registered in Matlala's name, the company's website describes him as its founder and said he has more than 3 decades in the law enforcement experience. Now, this website further states about the website that uMatlala is actually the founder of, which is the one that was given the 360 million in contract. It further states how uMatlala fights crime, has helped with security guards and all of these things, when really it's also not make sure, because of Mkhwanazi's allegation, we now know the type of man he is, because that he's going to court. Now, 101 is equal to 2, guys. As much as we can try to be objective about a certain stuff, but then we also have to call out a black cat for a black cat. Excuse the pun, but in this Matlala, in this case, uMatlala seems to be the criminal that Mkhwanazi says that he is, because there's no way you are going to be accused of attempted murder and also you're accused of a big political and drug cartel syndicate in the same week's end, where not as the common denominator in these two situations, you're completely innocent. Certainly, there must be something you're doing wrong. There must be something that needs further investigation into the character of uMatlala. Now, certain police officers, however, are of the view that Matlala is doing the opposite and contributing in the in the crime of the country. So some police officers actually know about Matlala's history, and they are saying that, listen, this guy actually is a criminal. Now, uMatlala, as I said, was arrested in May this year and is in custody for attempted murder relating to the wounding of actress Tebogo Thabejane in Sandton shooting in October 2023. That is his girlfriend. He basically tried to kill his own girlfriend. This means a private security company founder is facing criminal accusations relating to a shooting and attempted killing. Imagine. Now, it runs deep. It runs so deep to the sense that, now, I need you to follow me now, right? And this is a what I'm about to source now. I sourced it from Daily Maverick. Now, they recently reported that, according to Mkhwanazi, an AK-47 and pistol were linked to the April 2024 killing in Wagdemech of engineer Amart Swart, who was shot after the company he worked for unearthed corruption related to Transnet and tenders. Mkhwanazi said ballistic evidence showed the firearms had been used in other cases involving high-profile artists being targeted in Gauteng, meaning that this security company, Iket VIP Protection, their guns were used to what? To kill a person who unraveled Indoni corruption where with Transnet and everything and government tenders that has been happening. That same gun that was used then was now being used to kill UDJ somebody and his apparent bodyguard who went by the name of Walter Sibusu. Now, recent Usibusu himself, based on social media photographs, appeared to have worked for Machala founded Cat VIP company, meaning that there are so many murders around this company, Uket VIP, and that's the main focus of today's shows. Now, I want you to do your own research about this. We're not here to just tell you about this is what's happening, this is what happened. No. I want you also to actually go on the news, actually read about what's happening. Me, I'm basically giving you a skeleton, and you have to fill in the meat for yourself and see what's been happening. Now, these three murders that happened to DJ Somebody, Walter Sibusu, and Mr. Amart Swart was an engineer who uncovered a corruption that has been happening. That corruption is linked to who? Is linked to Kurt Machala. And after he unearthed those corruption, he was killed by a Kurt VIP gun, right? A Kurt VIP gun that is registered under that company of who of Kurt Machala. Now, it even runs deeper than that because this company the person who was murdered, Usofoka, rather known as DJ Somebody, was associated with alleged 28 gang member boss, Uraf Stainfield, who is based in Cape Town, who is another drug lord, where in Cape Town. Meaning, guys, this is not just a social issue. It is a national issue. It is a national issue that's happening all around. And I'm going to cap it at that for today, actually. I want you to go and actually do your research. Comment or rather call us on 060-639-3496 on the call out. Call us on the call out. You know what it is. Now, that's just the basic skeleton of what's been happening. Next week, we're going to be diving into who Mkhunu is, how he came to power, and what is going to happen to him in the next couple of months. But let us move on now to President Ramaphosa removing Ulomjita, Minister Nobuhle Mkwana, or former Minister Nobuhle Ngabane, as Higher Education Minister. Minister Ngabane has been fended off because she was unable to answer questions about her set up appointments and that there are accusations that she lied to Parliament. Now, of course, the Democratic Alliance has welcomed the dismissal of Nobuhle Ngabane as Minister of Higher Education, calling it a crucial first step in restoring public and government. Now, the DA is basically saying yes, because a person like Minister Ngabane, who did some pretty shady stuff with the SETA board, she is supposed to be fired, guys. We cannot in this country, 30 years over of democracy, and we're still entertaining corruption. We cannot do that. We are only shooting ourselves in the foot and saying, yes, we can run a race. You can't shoot yourself in the foot and say you can run a race. It's not even physically impossible, but you are going to lose the race because there are people who are actually healthy to run the race. There are actual economies out there who are healthy to run the race. Now, there are people within our government who are just rotten. And I'm not saying it's Minister Ngabane. It could be another person that we don't know. But then we need to get rid of all these things. And I support Sir Ramaphosa myself, because really, we do need to get these people fired. Now, President Cyril Ramaphosa removed Minister Ngabane because of the allegations that she misled the parliament about appointment of ANC-linked chairperson of Sector Education and Training Authority of SETA Boards. Now, furthermore, DA National spokesperson Karabo Nkakoo says the focus now shifts to Deputy Minister Buti Manamela, who is stepping up into the lead role. She says that the DA will be watching closely to see how Mamela plans to transform the SETA space, and that young people are given real access to skills development, educational opportunities, and improved infrastructure. Now, meaning that Buti Manamela, who is now the new Minister of Higher Education, is put into that position. All I can say is good luck. And I hope that you do a better job than the former Minister of Higher Education herself, and just be able to lead without corruption, to lead with authority, and to lead with truth. Those three things are so easy to say, but so hard to put into practice. It seems it's so hard to put in practice, as a matter of fact, for South African parliament officials. I don't know why that is, but hopefully when we as the youth are put into those positions of power, we can actually be the change that we actually want to see. Now, that actually leads us to our youth activism drive this month. And I just wanted to give a few pointers out to just talk about how we as the youth can actually change South Africa. Now, as a youth, especially in the matter of education, with the Minister of Education being employed, we need to be able to advocate for quality education ourselves. Like, we need to stop being silent, number one. We need to say, you know what, education is a foundation for opportunity and equality. We need to organize campaigns pushing for better school infrastructures and resources. We need to use social medias to highlight disparities in rural versus urban education. We need to partner with those NGOs to offer tutoring and mentorship to peers. Yes, we need to stop waiting on the government to act and be the people that act. We need to be leaders without positions. We need to be leaders without political parties. We need to be leaders without any profit or financial stability, you know? And there are so many ways we can tackle youth unemployment. South Africa has one of the highest youth unemployment rates globally. We need to push government and business to invest in youth job creation. We need to promote entrepreneurship and support local youth-led startups. Yes, you can be an entrepreneur. I don't care what it is. Teng sama orange, nama apil. But you can be an entrepreneur yourself. We need to stop waiting around to be saved and actually be our own saviors. That is what I'm saying to the youth activism campaign that we're running. We need to organize workshops that teach the readiness, CV writing, and digital skills. Guys, there are so many things that we don't know. People do not know how to write up their own CVs. They don't have digital skills, how to work around a laptop. Those things will make you not get hired. What I'm trying to say is that we ought to be united. We ought to actually work towards a certain goal all together in a group, because it takes a village, guys. It really does take a village in all levels of success. If you have a goal, you can't achieve your goal as a one-man island, but you have to do it with other people. Please, people, let us all be united. Now, furthermore, we need to engage in policy and governance. You know, I talked to some of my friends. Well, not my friends in the economics space, because they actually know what's happening. I study economics, to those who don't know. You know, I'm a future economist myself. I am an economist, as a matter of fact. I further down the line, I would love to be in the economical space of South Africa, because I have a lot of ideas myself, and I will be, God willing, you know, everything in God's hands. Amen. But we ought to engage in policy and governance. We ought to know what is actually happening around the country. Why are certain legislations being made? That legislation is outdated. We can change the constitution like this, like that, like this, like that, like this, like that. These ideas help us, you know. They actually help grow the country, you know. Political apathy among youth allows inequality to continue, meaning that when people are blind, when youth turns a blind eye to what's happening around political changes, then inequality, it continues because no one is actually fighting. No one is being the youth of the past, you know. We've all seen the story. We've all heard the stories about Hector Peterson. Why can't you be the next Hector Peterson? Yes, you don't have to die and be taken a nice picture of, sadly, but you can be a person who actually fights the way that you know how to fight in your classroom. When you see inequality happening, we ought to actually be the youth that is change, not wait around sitting for change. As I said, a divided youth is less powerful. We ought to unite. Unite yourselves in the economics department. Unite yourselves in the department of HR. Unite yourself in the department of all these different faculties of science. Unite yourself. Unite yourself. Unite yourself in order to strive for equity and better employment opportunities. That is what I leave you with. I leave you with a thought, a lingering thought of how you as the youth can change South Africa in the future. I am Vuyisana Nomchacho. So now we're just going to leave you with those questions. How can you as the youth actually be the change? I am Vuyisana Nomchacho, as I said, and this is The Call Out, where we connect, inform, and engage. We are back next week to talk about more riveting stuff. Catch you on the other side.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio.
Opula pule Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
Otecha deza Madiba Radio.
Omametse Madiba's Radio.
Akalese na Madiba's Radio.
Dalele I Madiba's Radio.
Ulaleli Madiba's Radio.
Niko chechereza Madiba's Radio.
Otecha Madiba's Radio.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio. Opening up the way for you to be heard.
What is up, Madibas? It is another week and it's another episode right here on Madibas Podcast. And of course, it's a new semester. It's a new semester and you're listening to Extra Time and I'm your host, Rabone Chobani.
It is a new season indeed. It's not just a new semester. We're starting again with Extra Time, the award-winning show.
People's favorite
I think it's very important for us to start every show with that line. We are the award-winning show.
Forget being award-winning. The last 2 months, July and May, we were the most listened show on Madiba's Radio Podcast. So that should tell you something.
That we are indeed the best show at Madiba's Radio. My name is Sam Gelekele. I've missed being here. I've missed talking everything about sports.
I keep telling you guys, Sam doesn't like coming to work. I would tell you guys every chance I get.
I've missed this, you know. So that shows that I've love my work. Very interesting past few months.
Listen, the sports world.
The sports world was
buzzing.
Buzzing. We had Club in July.
You had to be there.
I think that's my biggest highlight, Club in July.
You had to be there.
Club in July. When I came back from Durban, I came to another July weekend. What happening as Springboks were playing right here in Qobega. Also the cricket world, football. We had a whole World Cup happening for the past few months.
Listen, there's always something. I keep telling the sports world is a world that's never sleeping.
It never sleeps. Banyana was also playing. Wafkan.
Listen, we're gonna give it all to them. We're gonna lay it all down.
I feel like I'm too excited. I want us to get.
You're jumping the gun.
I want us to get onto it.
Okay, of course. Today we're gonna shine a light on South African sports stars who have not only excelled in their game but have also become symbols of hope, perseverance, and impact. From the dusty fields of the townships to the roaring stadiums of global tournaments, these athletes have turned challenges into stepping stones, and their journeys remind us that greatness can begin anywhere. And of course, it's been a while since we've been on air, over a month, in fact, and so much has happened in the world of sport. Today, before we dive into our feature on South African sports stars, we're making a difference. We're going to catch up and give you a quick but powerful summary of everything that's made headlines in July 2025, from cricket records to heartbreak in the WAFCON, from Club World Cup glory to world-class performances in MMA. Our athletes have been flying the flag high, breaking limits, and giving us stories worth celebrating and remembering. remembering. So buckle up, chomies. Here's your sports rewind. In early July, South African cricket travelled to Zimbabwe and secured a clean sweep in the two-test series stand-in. Captain Wayne Mulder made headlines with an unbeaten 367 when he declared making a record-breaking innings for the country. Spinner Corbin Bosch took 438 in the second test to close out the stunning innings and a 236 victory. Then, as in the Tri-Nation T20 series began, South Africa beat Zimbabwe by 7 wickets. Ruben Herrmann hit a blistering 63 off 36 balls, with Rassie van der Dassen anchoring the win. But a mid-series sitting from New Zealand followed, with a Black Caps defeating South Africa by 21 runs on July 16th. We suffered again by losing 7 wickets with over 4 overs to spare. Tim Stave, unbeaten 66, led the chase, dismantling South Africa's 134 over 8 total on the 22nd.
South African teams are doing very well. With
no DNA.
No DNA. We are just RSA. It makes me really excited. I cannot wait for Madiba Sports to share their theme.
There's so many themes. Speaking of themes, we also have a theme.
We also have a theme.
We also have a theme on Madiba's radio, which is why we're shedding a light on South African sports stars. Our theme for the semester. Do you want to take a guess, Sam?
I know the theme, Ribone, so why would
so
I take
the
a
theme?
Guess?
Tell us the theme.
Why would I take a guess? How about you tell
Maybe
us the
Maybe if
theme?
You remembered the theme.
Of course it's about Nelson Mandela. That's current for sure. It's definitely about Nelson Mandela, as we are celebrating Mandela Month this
month. And we
month.
Are all unlocking the Mandela in ourselves. Like, basically, what Mandela did, but we're making it sports.
Mm.
We're making it sports. So continuing, obviously, with the Springboks that took place. Listen.
So it makes me really excited. I was still saying that the theme for Madiba Sports Awards this year, I already know the theme, but of course I can't share it
we
right
can't
now.
Share it now. Madiba can't share Sports now. Awards is still a bit far.
It is, but it's really about celebrating South African teams, South African sports in all that they've done in this year. I think there's a lot to be proud of, you know. Now diving into the Springboks. In July, the Springboks dominated their mid-year test with 3 convincing wins. No losses, just wins.
Doubled.
Every week. Now next week. Are they playing next week?
This
weekend.
Yes.
So on July 5 at Loftus, they beat Italy 42-24 with tries from Mon van der Berg, Kurt Lee, and JC Krill and others. A week later on July 12th, in the club in July. Ribona was there. Oh, Ribona Wang. Ribona is a traitor, guys.
No,
I think
no, no, no.
Let me put it out there.
No, Sam.
Ribona?
I was in Bloemfontein and I told you and I said, Bok weekend, be there.
Ribona was there.
I gave you all the necessary steps to take to be present. Yeah, did you take
you
them?
You gave me options.
Exactly. So how am I a traitor?
But also, I really didn't think that I would be in PE during the club in July. So I really didn't. But I had a great time.
So Sam is taking back calling me a traitor because I did
Ribbon is not a traitor.
I wanted us to do club in July together.
Yeah, but it was too busy also, hey? Like it was too
people
busy. It was too massive.
London, people
everywhere,
from Cape Town.
People from all over the country were here in the club in July.
Even leaving the stadium that night.
How was it, actually?
It was amazing. Wow.
Was leaving the stadium amazing?
No, not leaving the stadium, but like being there was amazing. Leaving the stadium, even an hour after, an hour,
chaotic.
30 minutes, it was still chaotic. The roads were still packed. We had parked very far from the stadium, so we had to walk all the way to the car. But in our walking, it's still packed. It felt safe because you're surrounded by literally everyone. You're surrounded by cars. You're surrounded by... We're happy. We I just think, won with a null
with,
total.
I'm about to get there.
Sorry,
I'm about
sorry.
To get there.
Now I'm jumping the gun.
So the club in July, our Springboks delivered a powerful 45-0 shout out against the same Italian side that they beat 42-24 in Loftus the previous weekend on July 5th. Despite the team playing with just 14 men after Jesper's red card, then on July 19 in Bombela Stadium, South Africa crushed Georgia with 55-10 with new debuts, which was Manus van der Merwe scoring twice and Edwill van der Merwe staring again. Shooting Jay into Fanda Merva. Our captain for Matibas Rugby is Fanda Merva.
It's in reminds the name.
Reminds me of that TikTok. Reminds me of that TikTok. I'll share it to you.
Okay, but it's in the name.
There's a Fanda Merva also happening right there. A major highlight of the month was Willie LaRue earning his 110th cap, marking a proud milestone in a career defined by calm decision making, vision, and leadership from the back. On the same night, under 20s won the World Rugby Under 20. Yay! Yeah, what that night?
It was just win after win.
That
after
night, and Banyana Banyana was also
three
playing.
Three wins back to back.
Look, I think South Africa, guys, is the best place to be.
It's the best country in the world.
Nah.
Fight me.
In sports, Asisho Jalo.
I mean, we have a great constitution.
Well, call out is coming up next.
Like, we have a great constitution, the execution, but that's besides the point.
Club World Cup?
The very first 32-team FIFA Club World Cup wrapped up on the 13th of July in New Jersey, with Chelsea claiming the inaugural title over PSG in a 3-0 win.
I think I was hurt by the Club World Cup
when Sundowns.
Yeah, no, I was like, you know what? I'm
that
hurt.
That was unfortunate because we almost.
It was
I love
close.
When we get to represent on bigger platforms.
Soccer, especially, yes. Because we're really not, you know, that dominant in soccer as a country. But rugby,
to get that opportunity to go to Club World Cup is truly a blessing. And shout out my Melody Sundowns.
Yeah, no, they played well. Speaking of the Club World Cup or football, the WAFCON heartbreak last night, very shaky game played by Banyana Banyana with Nigeria, as we're all expecting a win on the 22nd. A sharp blow to South African hearts. Banyana Banyana were edged out 2-1 by Nigeria in the WAFCON semi-final. Despite Linda equalizer, a stoppage time strike ended the title defense. What a roller coaster of emotions leading to our showcase of hope and resilience. And that brings us to the end of the WAFCON as Banyana Banyana, or as South Africa. Banyana Banyana is really making
the
us
waves.
Proud.
You know, I saw something after one of the games.
Yeah.
On when was it? On Saturday. And someone tweeted, "We need to be honest about women's football. Why do you guys want to have think pieces and reevaluate?" On the other hand, you're tweeting from your phone at home. You're not on the you're not even on Bafana Bafana's team.
I was not even watching the game, but the tweet I was seeing, I'm like,
like, is it necessary? Like, is it really necessary? Like, why can't you just celebrate the win and be happy that, wow, we won something?
Why
can't you be happy that the women actually are excelling? But no, you want to be different. You want to play devil's advocate at the worst time possible. Because that was the third win that night. But you still, you want to, we need to be honest about women's football. Why?
Let's rush to football. Very exciting.
And we're going to begin with our rising sports stars, with Sinoxolo Kwayiba, a young footballer from Motherwell, born on the 15th of February 2000. Sinoxolo started his career in the lower ranks with Pretoria Kallies before joining Chipa United, named as DStv Premiership Player of the Month in April 2024. His performances in 2023 caught national attention. Strong, intelligent, and technically gifted. By 2025, he was not just a rising star, but a force in the Premier Division, earning a move to Orlando Pirates. On the 10th of November 2025, he got his first call up to Bafana Bafana, scoring a goal in his third appearances on the 10th of June 2025. What makes Sinoxolo's story powerful is not just his skill, but his ability to rise through persistence. Today, he stands as a beacon to young players in Gqeberha and beyond, proving that talent, discipline, and belief can break any ceiling.
I think we should try get him on the show.
And he's a yes.
I think
we need
to try to get him on the show just to hear his story and how, you know,
and
he came about.
And continue to celebrate, right? The Mandela in all of us.
We've got
and
work to do, everybody. We've got work.
As soon as we're done, we're making calls. We're sending out emails.
We've got work to do. And then we have Linda Motalo. I was telling Ribone that I was speaking Sesotho.
I don't believe it, by the
way. Nakibua Sesotho.
And I told me
no Ribua Sesotho until Refit Riqeda show A.
Oh, Sam, I
Mandela
see
Mandela Day, inclusivity and everything we are celebrating.
I see you.
Linda Motlhalo, name?
Motlhalo, yeah.
Yeah, I got that right. From Leradong, born in Randfontein on the 1st of July, 1998. Linda grew up in a footballing family. Her uncle, Joseph Motlhalo, played for Kaizer Chiefs in the 70s. From a young age, her vision and touch stood out. She rose through the ranks at the Tuks High Performance Center and quickly broke into professional football abroad. She's played in the USA, China, Sweden, and now shines at Glasgow City in Scotland. At the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup, she scored for Banyana Banyana, cementing her place as one of South Africa's finest female footballers. But Linda is more than just footwork. She's a role model. She stands for courage, global excellence, and the importance of staying grounded. Her presence inspires a new generation of girls who dream of one day hearing their name chanted in the stands. She is called Randfontein Ronaldinho, compared to a Brazilian star, Ronaldinho, muchly by her skill in the field. I think what I like about these two rising stars that we've outlined for now is that they're very young.
Yes.
Very, very young, 2000 and 1998.
That's people that are still well in their 20s.
They're still well in their 20s. They've got an amazing career ahead of them. Like, they've got...
I mean, she's playing overseas.
She's playing overseas already. I mean, she can retire at the age of...
Bafana Bafana. Come on.
Aye, guys. Aye, South
Africa. And then people want to be like, football's in danger. I think it's in safe hands. I think it's in safe hands. And the nice thing I like about Linda's story is that her background... You know how men always talk about wanting a legacy? Mm. And but they always see the legacy in terms of sons. But women can carry your legacy too. I mean, look at this. She has history of an uncle who was a footballer.
Baller, who played for Kaizer Chiefs. Like, the best team in the country.
Okay. Now you're losing me.
Nedbank Cup title holders.
But when we get to top eight, then you guys are going to...
Pumala. What matters is that Tina. In a Nedbank Cup.
If we're gonna speak best, I think we should speak best in all aspects.
We are the best team in the country. You're probably wondering why we're celebrating rising stars. It is because it's Mandela Month, and oh shame, utata ngaba proud, hey.
That would be. This is what Mandela fought for. Like
Nelson Mandela would really be proud. Now switching on to our rugby rising stars.
We're going to talk about a woman whose journey grips the heart. Nadine Ruiz from Pretoria, born on the 9th of May 1996 in Limpopo, and abandoned at a creche at the age of 3. Nadine's life could have taken a dark turn, but her grandmother Oma Sari raised her with love and gave her a new chance. Nadine turned her pain into purpose. She excelled in athletics and CrossFit before rugby found her. From the University of Pretoria, she rose rapidly in rugby sevens, standing for the South Africa at the Commonwealth Games and the World Cup sevens. Her explosive speed and commitment on the field made her one of the most feared and respected players globally. She now also plays 15s and in 2024 earned a selection to the Olympic squad, a dream few dared to believe in. Through her vulnerability and strength, Nadine teaches us that our past does not define us, it prepares us. Her words about her Oma: I feel I owe her my life because of what she did for me. She took me in with literally nothing and has instilled values in me, Ruiz told Olympics.com. She taught me about hard work, that if you want to achieve something in life, you have to do everything in your power to achieve it, and that nothing is handed to you on a silver platter.
And lastly, we have Willie LaRue from Stellenbosch, born in 18 August 1989 and schooled at Paul Roux Gymnasium.
Gymnasium.
Ay, Stellenbosch in English. Gymnasium. Fandermerva.
Willie LaRue.
Willie is a master of the game with over 100 caps for the Springboks. He has become known for his calm under pressure, his deadly passing, and his uncanny ability to read the field like a chessboard. From Super Rugby to stints in Japan and England, Willie's class has spoken for itself. But what stands out even more is how he leads. He's the quiet architect behind many Springbok victories and a mentor to younger players, even now playing for the Bulls and still standing for the green and gold. Willie shows us that greatness is not loud. It is consistent, intelligent, and humble. I think I think it's very important for sports people to not only play the game, but study the game.
Yes.
So what we see from Willie is that he studies the field like how he plays chess. Chess is very complicated. So he doesn't see the field as just scrum and try.
Yeah, you know? Scrum and try.
Scrum and try. We, you know, winning scrums and everything. But he just studies the field as a chessboard.
Mm.
I think most also upcoming sportsmen and sportswomen
should take,
you know, to take the game serious and do your best, have fun. I think that's what our Madiba's rugby coach always says, that have fun during the game.
Yeah.
I don't play rugby, but I always hear these words.
When I play basketball, I'm still waiting.
Speaking of basketball,
before we get into basketball, Vili got his 100th test in Gqeberha.
Yeah.
During Gqeberha July. I was there. He had like a whole little moment before the national anthem. He was like, his face was on the big screen.
Yeah.
His jersey had like embroidered Gqeberha 100th.
That's so cool.
Cap. Like, it was so nice.
It was
like,
so cool.
Oh, you had to be there. Man, you had to be there.
We are rubbing it on my face now. Let's go to basketball.
Go into your basketball.
Friday Night Lights coming up on the 1st of August at the Nelson Mandela Indoor Sports Center. Are you coming, Ribone?
You know I always come.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Pre-match things. Friday Night Lights.
Is back. You know what else is back?
What?
Campus Sports League.
Boo, 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 boo.
Back.
This Sunday.
The 27th of July.
Yeah.
We're having how many sports codes? All of them.
No, we have chess, football, netball, rugby. Basketball.
I mean, are they all starting on Sunday?
Netball, yeah, they're all starting
then
on
why
Sunday.
Why did you say no?
Plus, not all of them, because volleyball is not playing, so.
Then you see. Anyways, but yeah, Campus Sports League is back. I think that's Sam's favorite day of the week.
Maybe.
For certain reasons.
Fixtures will be posted on their social media pages on Facebook. It is Madiba's Campus Sports League. Sport leagues, and on Instagram, Madiba's Campus Sports Leagues. The fixtures will be posted there. Do come through. Score is coming.
Of course, Score is coming.
Score is coming. Score will be there. They are proudly sponsored by Score Energy Drink. I hope Ribone will be there.
I will be. I promise you, I'm going to come. I'm coming.
If Ribone doesn't come, I'm not coming to work next week.
I'm going to be there. Okay, now I have to be there. Yo, Sam gave me such a tough job. No, I will be there.
So next week, we are definitely continuing with celebrating rising stars as we are celebrating Mandela Month. We are making Utata proud by this.
It's what he fought for.
This is what Tata Nelson Mandela fought
for. The vision was bigger than us. It was beyond us. And look, today we can celebrate different athletes from different backgrounds with
amazing stories
to tell. I mean, Nadine was what, abandoned at the age of three. Her mom jumped up and was like,
but look at what it, you know, how she turned out.
She turned her pain into purpose, and now she's at the Olympics.
Winnie Mandela.
Yes, I take that.
Winnie Mandela.
Kancane kancane.
Rafitla.
Are you gonna do your closing in Sesotho?
You want me to do it?
I mean, you could.
Rialebuga, who my. Don't love. Rialebuga, who really refile nako yarina.
Yaluna.
Riahutla again.
Next week.
Kanako.
Same time, same place. And to every young athlete listening today, remember this, that greatness doesn't come from a perfect life. It comes from imperfect beginnings, hard choices, and relentlessness belief. Whether you come from a township like Motherwell, a rural town like Randfontein, a painful childhood like Nadine's, or a rugby-rich town like Stellenbosch, your story is waiting to be written. What matters is that you show up, push forward, and believe. believe in something bigger than your fear. The world is watching and your moment is coming. You know what Casper Nyovest once said in one verse that he did on a song? It was said, he said, "This is just a teaser. Turn the heat up."
Ooh,
that stuck with me. Okay. That has stuck with me forever. But of course, we reached the end of our show. For extra time, you know, first episode back, and we'll be back next week. I am Ramona Chobane, and you can find me on my social media at Ramona Chobane and on TikTok, X. I don't want to say Instagram because you know me and my Instagram.
You bore me. My Divas Radio podcast. It is Extra Time. My name is Sam Gelecele. It's good to be back. Cannot wait to have more of these and give you all the exciting sports news. Until next week. Bye.
The best youth station in the Bay. Madiba's Radio.